Welcome to They That Hope with Father Dave and Bob, seeing humor and hope in a crazy world. I'm Bob.
And I'm Father Dave.
Hey there, how you doing?
Good, Bob. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, and we are so grateful for all of you who are listening to us. Just so excited to share hope and maybe humor. Humor's kind of the...
That's iffy.
That's iffy.
Yeah, yeah, tomato, you know.
That's right. Humor isn't guaranteed, but hope is... you can be confident in at least the hope of the
Lord.
You
can hope that there's some hope.
You could wish.
Yeah, yes,
you
or
could
pray,
wish
or
and
desire.
Desire that there is hope, which is true. And I've been clinging to hope lately. I don't know what it is about this time of year. It's just insanity, at least with all my kids.
Yeah.
For you listening, I have 7 kids. 2 are in college, 2 are in high school, 2 are in junior high, 1 is in elementary. And it's pretty nuts.
Our lives are so different.
Well, how many friars do you have to take care of, though? I mean, do you have to get them out of bed?
No. I close the door, and they are dead to me.
Wait, you guys don't all? I thought you guys were all in just one
bunk rooms.
Yeah, right. Pillow fights at night.
Boy, I don't know what show you're watching.
Role playing games.
No, keep going.
Come on, you guys have to.
We've never done that. Actually, you've always talked about that, but I've never been invited.
So. No,
I know.
I've begged you.
I know.
I would love to see the friars do like a role-playing game.
Our life is a role-playing game.
Well, you dress up in medieval garb.
That's
and
right.
You live in a house decorated in stone and fire.
That's
I mean, you're basically one turkey leg away from a Renaissance fair up
you're
there.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
So just...
No, but it is, yeah, it's funny that you said the thing was crazy with your family. And I just had one of our alumni I was visiting this weekend, and she's just a wonderful, she graduated maybe 10 or 12 years ago, and we're just spending time talking, and I must say that when it was all said and done, I was profoundly grateful for the gift of family, and, you know, particularly her talking with her and her being mom, but it's hard, Bob. I mean, I'm looking from the outside in, but it's like, because I joke, but like when I go and I close my door in the evening, you know, I read and
you're
I pray.
You're in your happy place.
Yeah. And you know, prayers never knock at the door crying,
right.
You know, needing to be changed or anything.
Like,
it's just
like, can I just get through my third psalm and evening prayer?
Yeah,
I got to just
right.
check
that's
out
right.
this
that's
box
right.
before I cuddle with you, kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It is, it's a blessing and it's a challenge. You know, I think in some ways, and we've had this conversation before because I know you've done a lot helping young people discern their vocation, but in some ways, I feel we need to be more honest with young people in terms of, you know, they have a perspective of marriage is happily ever after and, you know, priesthood, religious life is just abject loneliness, you know. And, you know, there's a heroic virtue to both.
Absolutely.
Like both are lives of sacrifice. And it's not like one is more sacrificial than the other. They're just different.
Yeah.
I would say in that sense. And, but... as the Lord provides different graces.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. I was doing a marriage prep one time, and the gal who was going to be married, she asked me, she goes, why is it that when Protestants talk about marriage, they talk about how beautiful and perfect it is, and when Catholics talk about it, they talk about how hard it is? And I think, honestly, because I think that maybe it's a more realistic worldview. I mean, you're not saying that it's not beautiful and it's not amazing. And
it certainly leads me to holiness.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And joyful, and I mean, the awesome, incredible moments.
Like, but, what is, like, what would, like, everyone says the birth of a child or...
Oh, no, I think that's gross. I you know what? I seriously,
oh,
I...
Jeez, that's not where I thought we were going to
well,
go.
Okay, but seriously, like, I felt like there's something... Because everybody told me that, oh, the day your child is... Actually, today is one of my kids' birthdays.
There you
Bobby,
go.
You're 18 years old, and I hope you listen to this podcast. Maybe he will because I gave a shout
that's
out.
That's a stretch, Bob.
Yeah, well, yeah. We're just trying. Whatever we can do to get more viewership, right?
That's right.
So, people would always tell me like the miracle of life and how incredible it is to hold your kid for the first time. And I just thought it was weird and gross. Like, I felt like it took me a couple weeks to finally kind of get into
it. Okay, that was
with
the first one, like the second, third.
No, just perpetually.
It never got any better.
There's a lot of blood and
it's funny,
stuff.
A friend of mine said to me one time, she goes, you know, Father, that they said that once you have the baby, you forget everything about the birth. She goes, that's not true.
That's a lie.
That's not true.
That is such a lie. But I have other people that are like, oh, that was the greatest day. And I mean, obviously it was very cool, but
yeah.
Maybe I'm just a bit of a robot. I was just with everyone.
Although you don't
Jenny
do
has,
well with
I don't do
pain
well with,
and
oh,
blood
my
and
gosh.
Hospital stuff
no,
anyway.
No, I... No needles. Yeah, I had I had to almost do like a hypnotic therapy thing to get over my phobia of needles. So like the whole environment is just a nightmare for me. So all I'm doing is I'm just staring at Jenny. I'm just praying for her. And Jenny's has had very difficult pregnancies. In fact, she's, because of an arrhythmia in her heart, she's had high risk pregnancy. So there's a world of complications that go on. It's never, it's never an easy thing.
Yeah, they're amazing.
But other people
though,
have that.
I mean, I always joke that said if men were to get pregnant, they would do it once and they would never do it again. It's like, there's no way I'm doing that again. But they're amazing. I mean,
it's incredible. And it's incredible to me, even with my wife, who really struggles during pregnancy. Again, some of these issues, they put her on meds. My wife not only hates being pregnant, she hates people who like being pregnant, right? And she did this time and time again. And even, you know, like after three or four kids, it was like, hey, we're pro-life enough. And, you know, you can have your body back. Like you can. And she was the one that was continually feeling like, I just feel the Lord's calling us to be open to another life. Yeah. I mean, really, I mean, again, way more if I was delivering children, I'd be doing it that much.
I've always kind of wanted to see the birth of a child. Again, I've heard it's so beautiful and wonderful and all that. And so
have you seen the movie Alien?
Is it like
it's,
that?
Yeah, it's like, it's when, a lot except like that. It doesn't it? Come out the stomach, okay. But keep going.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, mental but, image for
so
the day.
I don't need that. My sister said, well, you know, because I was scheduled to be home around the time of the birth of one of my, it would have been my nephew, I guess. And she goes, Dave, you can come in the room. I don't care. It's like my sister will sell tickets for it. It doesn't matter. So I said, that's, I mean, that would be really, really cool, Mary. So I was scheduled to be home about 3 or 4 days before I get home. I get a call like at 3 a.m. and my sister's not great with time zones. So this is not terribly unusual. And she's crying and she's just crying and crying. And I was like, Mary, just take a breath. What's going on? She goes, I'm so sorry. It's like, Mary, what's going on? I just had the baby. She goes, I told them, we need to wait. My brother's a priest. He wants to be here, but I couldn't wait. It's like, you are so selfish.
That's right.
No, but it is. Yeah.
Just along those lines, actually, when I was in upstate New York, in Albany, New York, my pastor, who I became very close friends with, he saw the birth of one of our kids.
Not?
Yeah, why not? Well, but it's exactly that. It was, you know, we were just talking and he said he's never seen it before. And I mean, we loved him and we said, yeah, you know, I don't remember. I think it might've been for John or Colby. It was some
That's
kid.
Cool. That's
it was
cool.
One of our kids. That's true. It wasn't somebody else's kid.
Yeah. That would be good.
So
but just,
I think,
just to that end.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I was talking with this woman and, you know, I just maybe to talk hope into that and speak hope into that, yes, all those things that you said are true. They're beautiful. Marriage is beautiful and family is beautiful. I think of my own family, beautiful and wonderful.
Awesome.
But also really, really difficult times. And if you, yeah, just to those who are struggling, if you're impatient, you know, the God still loves you and you're still, you know, you're still a good mom or you're still a good dad. And I think that particularly when parents are dealing with their children, rightly so, the desire to be a model and to be a witness and to do it in charity, all of that's beautiful. And that almost when they fall or they're just impatient sometime, they just become so tough on themselves. So I'll often do this in confession when I'm dealing with a mom or a dad. I said, be patient with yourself. You know, what you're doing is hard.
Yeah.
And even for some of those who feel like, and this is one of the horrible things about social media is you go online and you feel like everybody else is doing it better than you,
right?
Everybody else is doing it better than you. Their house is better, that they make more money, they're able to support their family more, blah, 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 blah. And it's just, be at peace.
Yeah, social media are the highlight reels of our lives.
Yeah,
we rarely, you know, I haven't seen a Instagram post of a mother just freaking losing it on their children.
I know.
Like, let's post that.
Well, and that's why I said, turn the camera around.
Yeah, you know? Right. One of my favorite quotes from my wife is she just looked at me one time and she
just said, this is, children might be listening to this.
No, it's okay. She said, because we were at Mass and the kids were just nuts. And she looked at me and she said, do you think it's a mortal sin if I receive the Eucharist when all I'm thinking about is killing our children? I said, I think it's okay, baby.
Yeah.
Get the grace.
You're not operating in freedom right now.
That's right. You're not culpable. It's totally understandable. So, but I find personally, you know, one of the other challenges is, you know, as a parent, you not only you're not only dealing with your own crap, right? You know, what's going on at work, what's going on in relationships, what's going on with your, you know, family, you know, siblings, parents, whatever. But then there's a tendency to just absorb the pain and difficulties of your kids, you know, whatever. And they could be dumb things. You know, my 7-year-old deals with dumb things, but for him, it's the world.
Sure.
You know, he got in a fight with a neighbor and he threw a football in his face and broke his glasses and he told him to go away. And then he's in my arms crying and he's like, but I didn't want him to go away because he's my friend and I was just mad, but I don't know what to do. And his world is falling apart, you know, over something like that. But I guess in many ways, all of our worlds can fall apart over what essentially might be trivial,
absolutely,
you know, things. Because in the light of eternity, you know, everything passes and God never changes. I personally, it helps me to remember to call upon the graces of the sacrament.
Yes.
I think that's something we as Catholics need to keep doing. You know, it wasn't just a contract and a handshake. When I got married, there was a sacrament, and you know, I bestowed the sacrament on my wife, and she bestowed the sacrament on me. And there is grace, you know, just like calling upon the graces of your baptism or confirmation, call upon the graces of the sacrament of marriage, and
yeah,
it really makes a difference.
That's one of the things in the Catechism. When you take a look at the sacrament of marriage, it speaks of the Holy Spirit, and the couple receives the Holy Spirit. And then it says something cool. It says the Spirit is readily available.
Amen.
To the couple. And I think that at that moment, right, at the moment when you're just going to go postal or something like that,
yes,
that the Holy Spirit is readily available. And the more, I think, I as a priest, I mean, that's something I call on my sacrament of orders, but for the married couple as well, marriage is supernatural. To be able to live Christian marriage and to do it in charity and in kindness and patience, that's simply supernatural, and you need the grace of the sacrament, the grace of the Holy Spirit to be able to do that.
And we come to it as imperfect people.
Amen.
And that's why we need the sacrament.
Amen.
I mean,
amen.
That is the grace. I keep reminding Jenny, you know, my wife, I just say, you know, you got to remember, you have the most sacramental grace to make me holy of anybody on planet Earth,
yeah,
and vice versa.
Yeah.
And just to call upon that grace, to call upon it together, it's the difference.
Right,
I mean,
it
really is the absolute difference between falling into insanity and chaos. The stuff is still there,
yeah,
obviously, but just the grace to get through it and to see God through it, that's the real beauty,
right,
that I see,
right,
in
to be
in,
encouraged.
In
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're struggling, things aren't going well, laundry's not folded, work's not going well, you come home frustrated, just be at peace. The Lord is present, be patient. Yeah, you've got a hard job.
Yeah, amen. And for those of you who are blessed to be pregnant, praise be Jesus Christ. Why don't you call your local priest and invite him to the birth of the child?
Or
maybe
discern that.
Well, you know, I think that's kind of the message of this morning.
It
you know, just
much is.
I mean, you could end up with 5 or 6 priests.
Pretty much
who
is.
Wouldn't want 5 or 6 priests in the bloody room? What's the room? What's it called? The room of blood. The room of screaming.
The delivery, room,
delivery room. Yeah,
got
that
it,
one.
Got it.
Or that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Amen.
Good Lord save us.
Hey, speaking of hope, you know, we did something awesome this summer. We did a Night of Hope. It was an online streaming conference because, you know, it was COVID and people
right.
couldn't make it. And people responded tremendously to it. It was really...
It really was beautiful.
It really, really was beautiful. So we're doing it again. We are going to do it in Advent, December
12th,
Saturday.
I think.
Yeah,
I think
Saturday,
the 12th.
December 12th.
Guadalupe.
Yeah, and you'll be there, and I'll be there, and who else will be there? Do you remember?
Is Jim Beckman?
Yeah. Oh gosh,
Jim Beckman's
yeah, of
gonna be with us. Maybe Pete Herbeck.
Mary Bielski.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I'm looking forward to this.
this is gonna be
fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited
great.
About it. So just something to put on your calendars. You know, Saturday, December 12th, another Night of Hope. And maybe another thing you could do if you'd like is check out steubenvilleconferences.com. We haven't opened up registration for the summer, but we have all the dates up, and you could sign up online and get an announcement for that. And I know part of that announcement will be Night of Hope. Conference office is just doing some great stuff, and we really are excited to share
yeah.
some
let,
of the
let
work
me just
that
throw
we're doing
in a real
Franciscan.
Quick plug, not plug, ask, is
oh, yeah.
Well, just with everything that's going on with COVID, those conferences are just really important to the lives of so many people. So mm-hmm. just pray that this whole COVID thing can be settled and next, I mean, it's crazy even to think about next summer and conferences, but just pray that things can work out and people are able to attend the conferences next summer. So
yeah,
that'd be great.
Amen.
Great.
And
so big event this week.
Well, in my family, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
I mean, we all get excited about it.
What's going to happen this year? Are you guys?
No, they're still doing Halloween. Okay. I don't know how that's working, okay. but I think.
You're going to wear masks?
Yeah. Maybe people are just going to throw candy at us from their front
that's
door.
Right,
I'm not.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure what happened. So
what, like growing up, you dressed up as never mind.
Yeah, Star Wars and Star Wars and probably Star Wars. And now my kids are more Marvel now.
Okay.
I think actually I got a really cool Doctor Strange outfit. And Aiden has a Green Lantern
you
outfit.
Have a doctor like you personally
I do personally have a doctor's well the Ghostbusters outfit was getting a little bit old. I wanted to mix it up a bit.
That's awesome.
You just have to have a couple costumes.
I'm trying to think of like I don't remember
where are you gonna be for Halloween? St. Francis or St. Bonaventure?
I might.
It's hard to tell.
I'm trying to think of what I did is when I was a kid and nothing stands out. Like one of the things that we used to do is you take like coffee grounds and you put like Vaseline on your face and you put coffee. It looks like your face does right now. Like it needs to be shaved and all that kind of thing. So,
okay. That was what you're
like kind of, I don't know. I don't know what we look like.
Not good.
Yeah,
Do you watch like scary movies ever?
Not necessarily just on Thanksgiving, but I actually...
On
Halloween.
Some people's families
that's
difficult.
Family. Yeah. My family tradition on Thanksgiving is watch Silence of the Lamb. Yeah.
Clarice.
Yeah, that's a quid pro quo. But, you know, I'm not necessarily on Halloween, but I like scary... Actually, I really like scary movies, yeah.
Well, like, what's your favorite? Nothing alike. I can't watch scary movies.
Yeah. No, I love scary movies. I love to be scared. I don't like demonic, that kind of... Just,
okay.
You would appreciate this. Just the way that you can use film or a scene or something jumps out at you.
Oh, yeah, like a Hitchcock?
Yeah.
I think of those more like thrillers.
Okay,
or...
but even that. Like, I like some... This is probably awful. I thought Silence of the Lamb was scary and intense, and there's this one scene that was like... But, yeah, like Friday the 13th, part 12.
Jason in space.
Is that Jason? Jason is Friday the 13th. Yeah. And Freddy Krueger. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fear is an emotion I avoid in life.
Okay.
And I don't want to sit down and feel it. Like fear and sorrow. You know, I had a funny, in class a few days ago, as I walked in, students were talking, and one of the girls said, you know, when I really want to cry, I watch the last episode of The Office. And I... just commented. I said,
being sensitive.
No, well, like I've never sat around being like, you know what? I just really want to cry right now. Like that's just not.
Yeah.
That's just not something I ever think. Like, what do I want to do right now?
Why are you afraid to do that?
Well, maybe I have enough kids to do it. I actually don't really cry at movies.
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
You cried like a baby when we went to that Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Well, that's not true. Life is Beautiful.
Yeah.
I cried like a baby. At that one. I'm thinking of two other movies I've cried at. Iron Giant. Have you seen The Iron Giant?
Uh-uh.
Oh my gosh, really? It's a cartoon. It's incredible.
Do you know, it's funny, you're talking about that, just sorrow and scary. My sister, I was talking about actually Les Miserables, which I just love. I think it's so beautiful.
The play, the book, or the movie?
Well, two of the three. I've started the book like three or four times. And I thought the movie was quite beautiful, and the play is just
stunningly beautiful.
Amazing. So
I cried at that play.
Yeah. I mean, I was telling my sister-in-law, I said, you need to watch this. But she's like you. She goes, she won't go to any movie that's sad or anything like that. And she said, why would I want to go see that? It's like, it's really sad. Doesn't everyone die? And I said, no, it's so beautiful. And I said, well, yeah, pretty much, actually. Pretty much they do. But yeah.
Sorry to ruin the ending.
Yeah, that's right.
Spoiler alert. Well, those are kind of like a cathartic type sad.
But like I remember as a kid,
which I guess is kind of the
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Is that so? Remember the scene?
Yes.
This is again.
It's a thing.
I was scarred as a child.
Yeah,
there was this scene with the abominable snowman.
Right.
I was terrified. I remember as a kid because I'm in Colorado when it was snowing out. Again, very little, probably 17 or 18.
Right.
When it was snowing out, I'd be nervous like the abominable snowman.
It's gonna get you.
Yeah, but there's something about that. I like the being on the edge of the seat, being a little bit scared. Yeah. I love that.
Star Trek II.
You cried at that?
I cried like a baby. When Spock died? Oh my gosh.
Spock's dead?
Well, he comes back. That's okay. Star Trek 3.
Okay.
But
I should have seen that coming.
But when you didn't know that in Star Trek 2 and Scotty's playing the bagpipes, Amazing Grace, and it was, I mean, I was like.
You're tearing up right now.
It was powerful. Sorry, I yelled too loud. It probably blew people's ears out.
Oh, well.
It was a powerful thing.
No, but there, there's not a particular scary movie that I'm going to watch this Halloween. No,
yeah.
But you know, you just mentioned a movie that you cried at.
The Iron Giant.
Life
is Beautiful. Life is Beautiful.
Have you seen A Hidden Life?
No.
Okay, you need to watch this movie. And the listeners, you need to watch this movie. And this is horrible. I've forgotten his name. He was from Austria. It was beatified. Oh, it sounds like... you're getting closer.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, it's basically a story of, I think his name was Joseph Jägermeister. I forget what it is, but it sounds like Jägermeister, like the drink.
Right.
Yeah. But he was conscientious objector in World War II. And he's arrested by the Nazis. And the story is just a beautiful story of faith. He's Catholic. He's now been beatified. Mm. And really him and his wife talking about in letters that they were sharing in the midst of
this. Oh, so it's like a documentary?
No. Oh, it's not. Actually, you would know who this producer is, but I don't. But you would know it. It's just really, really beautiful. A Hidden Life.
One other scary movie I haven't seen is, what's the one that has no noise in it?
Oh, that was good.
A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place, yeah. There were some really good scenes in that.
I don't know if I can handle it.
Although it's crazy. Again, that was a film I watched on a flight, and it's always kind of weird watching that kind of movie on a flight. Yeah, so, yeah, it was great.
Anyway, so, good times.
Yes, it was great. It's a blessing.
Well, we got something from the mailbox, which is exciting. Thank you for all the many who are emailing us. Actually, a few people are emailing us, which is really fun. And we got Phil from Indiana gave us a shout out. He says he first heard me on the radio with Lino Rulli. That was the Catholic guy show on Sirius XM. He's a great guy. He was calling me Bo Bryce at the time.
Bo Bryce.
Right. I think that was like an American Idol singer as well. You just have to move the...
You just have to move the thing.
Well, it was funny when American Idol was popular, because I have a website, Bob Rice, and it's the exact same spelling. So I knew they were trying to give me money for that, and I foolishly declined. But heard you at a That Man Is You session a few years ago, and you know, last May during lockdown... he and his wife got five couples together. See, this is a great marriage thing. And went through the Metanoia series. Did a session a week, got over Zoom to discuss, finished that series, and we're still hungry. So we started the Wild Goose series and have continued that through the fall. And you've greatly inspired hope with him and his group. And these couples are now hungry for faith and are opening the doors. So God bless the ministry you're doing, Phil. We're grateful for the shout out. And actually, maybe that would be a good shout out for today. If you haven't seen The Wild Goose, it's a wonderful, wonderful video series about the Holy Spirit featuring Father Dave. Most of it is Father Dave walking.
Yes, I did a lot of walking.
I mean, how many miles did you walk during the filming of that show?
A lot of walking. That's our life.
That is our life. Where that like part where you're in like the desert, where was that?
It's about 3 hours east of San Diego, right on the California, Mexico, Arizona border there. That's a really stunning scene.
It is a really beautiful thing. Yeah, the 3 p.m. media that put it together just knocked it.
Or
4 p.m.
4 p.m., you're an hour early.
Well, you know, actually daylight savings time is this weekend.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Yes.
This is our public service.
Yes.
Change your clocks, fall back.
Yeah, I somebody online said, I will not do daylight savings time. I do not want another hour of 2020.
Yeah, that's really funny, actually. That's really funny.
But well, anyway, check out The Wild Goose because it's a great video series.
I think it's at wildgooseisloose.com. But if you're going to do that, which is great, first off, Phil, just bringing couples together, that is so fantastic. Bringing friends together to pray, to support each other in faith. We can't suggest that enough. But if you're going to look at that, maybe take a look at episode 8, which actually deals with
the Last Jedi.
Yes,
Jedi.
It deals with the sacraments.
Oh, marriage. You're episode 8.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So
we're episode 6, Bob. Do you want to say something?
Return of the Hope?
Okay. All right. That's great. But so it's not, now obviously we have Halloween coming up and we've talked about that, scary movies, but it's All Saints. And in some ways it's kind of sad what's happened to Halloween in some places. Any sense of faith is out the window.
But it's I'd like to have a bumper sticker that says demons are the reason for the season, you know.
For Halloween?
Yeah. You know, just like we do with Jesus for Christmas. Yeah. Everything gets secularized. I guess that's good. Like something that bad gets secularized to neutral.
I don't guess.
Not really.
That's a stretch.
Sorry, but I
love, actually, the All Saints is just a great, one of the things that, I always say this, one of the things I love about being Catholic, and there are so many things I love about being Catholic, but it's the saints and the diversity of the saints. Like, people will ask me, who's your favorite saint? And it's funny because I should automatically say St. Francis, right?
Right.
Right. He's certainly in the top two or three, but maybe one and two is St. Francis, but St. Paul. I love St. Paul, and just, I've been able to do pilgrimage to Greece a couple of times and do various trips with Paul, and just absolutely love Paul. But it's one of the things I love about being Catholic is that we have saints that were married, right?
Yep.
Saints that were married, saints that were single, saints that were martyred, saints that were smart, saints that were not very educated. And it reminds us that we can do this, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, but unfortunately that's gotten lost. And actually it's on a Sunday this year, so it's going to be kind of interesting. Yeah.
What do you mean?
All Saints is on a Sunday. Well,
I knew what you meant by All Saints being on a Sunday. I was more interested in what the interesting
part was. If feast days are on a Sundays, they often don't get as much attention as they might. So,
yeah,
but maybe more.
People aren't going out of their way to go to mass. It's not a whole. I mean, I guess actually we don't, because of COVID. There's really no.
Yeah, and this is
requirement
a side note.
For any
this is a
holidays.
Side note for those listening. You know, another thing I became more aware of, and I probably should be more aware of this, but that there's still lots of places that aren't able to go to mass. And that's just, I just want you to know that the Lord is present to you. And just be at peace. Know the Lord is present, that he wants to pour his grace and his blessings and his love upon you. So if you're still not able to go to liturgy, I just heard maybe a diocese in Santa Fe has had to change. I don't know. But just know that you're in our prayers. So
many people are living different realities right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say a place like here in Steubenville, things are pretty open. Restaurants are open. Liturgy, masses are open. I know some places where they can go to mass, but they have to sign up online and, you know, get like a ticket kind of thing because of the capacity of the church. And all those things are realities that, you know, we're all suffering in different ways, and some are suffering more, you know, because of the challenges. But
okay, back to saints, though.
God is present.
Yes. All right. Do you have a favorite saint, a favorite female saint, and a favorite male saint?
So I would say favorite female saint would be Teresa of Avila, who we talked about a couple
that last
weeks
time.
Ago.
That's
yeah, no,
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, that you remember my almost bionic woman Carmelite hermit aunt that you don't believe in?
I really don't. I can't wait because your mom's going to be here in a couple weeks.
Yes,
I don't believe this story at all.
Yeah, great.
And I'm going to talk with her.
I can't. We'll live stream that conversation.
Right.
And
the bionic. What do you? Yeah, the bionic hermit. It's like, oh, that's such a joke. Anyway.
What was that sound they made? This slow motion thing. Amen. Oh, that's so cool.
Okay, so guy.
So John the Baptist.
Okay.
You know, St. John the Baptist. Just love the scriptures. I mean, I would say that he must increase and I must decrease.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've heard anything so profound,
so
other than out of the mouth of Jesus, really just cuts me. And I just think about, I mean, here's a guy who, I mean, Jesus said, you know, of all men born of women, none have been greater, right? Like, he just was committed and pointed the way to Jesus. And then anybody in the kingdom of, the least in the kingdom of God is greater, you know, like, he prepared the way, he suffered, I just think of that moment where, you know, Jesus is coming to him and he's like, no, like, you should be baptizing me. Just his passion, just his humility, just pointing to Jesus. That just always, I have an icon of him in my office where I spend a lot of time in prayer. And it's just always, it just reminds me, like, that's actually St. John Paul II said that in the Jubilee year on the Feast of Catechists. He said, take John the Baptist as your model. Like, just point to Jesus. Like, yeah. Give him attention and get out of the way.
That's cool.
You know, and that really inspires me.
So someone say, obviously our Blessed Mother is a saint that is a model for us. But one of the other women is actually Saint Teresa. Teresa of the Child Jesus. Mm. I love just her relationship with Our Lady and how simple it was. I love the line when she says she's more of our mother than our queen. And, yeah. and just that point That's of right, just yeah. that tenderness. But I love Saint Jacinta from Fatima. She had an attitude and she was just spunky. And I love that. we're just really so blessed.
One of my favorite things about Teresa of Avila that I wanted to say last time and I forgot, but is my favorite story is that she had a... Her professed name was Saint Teresa of Jesus, mm-hmm. and because she was just so focused on Jesus. And one time she was in the convent and she saw a child running around and playing, which was odd. You don't really get small children in the convent. So she followed him around and she was trying to talk to him, and he was playful. And eventually she said, he looked at her and he says, "What's your name?" And she said, "Well, I'm Teresa of Jesus. What's your name?" And he said, "I'm Jesus of Teresa." Hmm. And it was an image of the Jesus as a child, and just taking on each other's names and stuff.
Okay, yeah. we're running long. Really, really quick.
Okay.
Favorite saint movie?
Oh.
I know.
The scene from, it was the teenager. It was set in Mexico.
Oh,
of the teenage boy, yeah, the greater Christ glory of God. Yeah, no, it wasn't Miguel Pro, but it was Del Sancho,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, the movie though.
That was the first thing that came to mind. I mean, I thought of Song of Bernadette, of course. That was just a movie we watched growing up.
Yeah, I did. I've never seen that movie.
What?
It's awful.
It's absolutely horrible. Dude, you have to see that movie.
Mother, I'm sorry.
Stop watching horror films and make some time for Song of Bernadette. It's a beautiful film. It's dated, but it's cool. Vincent Price, isn't it? It's always a win. He really is.
That's all right. Well, I'll work on that.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to tell people watch A Hidden Life. It's beautiful.
Well, what's your favorite scene?
That's what I just said.
Oh, right, right. Because you said it was about.
Yeah. It's really, really beautiful. It's slow, but just the dialogue and the scenery, actually, it's in Austria. It's just beautiful. So that's my one right now.
So maybe that's something to do this weekend as you're spending time with family, getting ready for Halloween, you're looking for a movie to put on. Maybe pick one of those things.
Yeah, that's awesome.
There's a way that all those things
a saint movie, not a scary movie, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
good.
That's right.
Good.
Yeah, the positive media, those kinds of things. And have a great weekend. You know, I do as a family, I just love Halloween, particularly if you've got little kids and they just get so excited about dressing up and doing those things. I feel bad for those families that might not be able to go trick-or-treating, but you know what? Just get dressed up in the house and have fun.
That's what the friars are going to do.
Is that right?
On that note.
I can't wait to see that. I hope you live stream that.
We're planning on it.
Yeah, indeed.
All right.
Amen. Well, maybe we should close with a blessing.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we just ask your blessing to be upon us, that your Holy Spirit would be present to us. Jesus, just in this last few days before the election, bring your peace and your presence in our nation. Bless all of our families, that they would continue to know your love, know your healing, know your restoration, know your grace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Yeah, we are so grateful to be able to share some humor and hope in your life. You've been listening to They That Hope, a podcast brought to you by Franciscan University of Steubenville. And feel free to shoot us an email of hope, of prayer requests, of whatever you'd like, at hope@franciscan.edu. God bless.